Today we're going to study different types of convergence for a sequence of functions. We usually write a sequence of functions as f1 comma f2 comma dot dot dot, or perhaps brace f sub j brace j equal 1 to infinity. We will generally assume that the functions fj all have the same domain s. A sequence of functions fj with domain s in the reals is said to converge pointwise to a limit function f on s if for each x in s, the sequence of numbers fjx converges to f of x. Example, define f sub j of x equal x to the j with domain sb being the closed interval from 0 to 1. If x is strictly less than 1, then fjx of course tends to 0. However, fj of 1 tends to 1. Therefore, the sequence fj converges pointwise to the function fx equals 0 if x is bigger than or equal to 0 less than 1, and 1 if x equals 1. See the figure. We see that even though the fj are each continuous, the limit function f is not. Here are some of the basic questions that we must ask about a sequence of functions fj that converges to a function f on a domain S. Five questions. Number one, if the functions fj are continuous, then is the limit function f continuous? We already answered that no. Two, if the functions fj are integrable on an interval I, then is f integrable on I? Three, if f is integrable on I, then does the sequence integral over I fj x dx converge to the integral over I of f of x dx? Number four, if the functions fj are differentiable, that is f differentiable. Then five, if f is differentiable, then does the sequence fj prime converge to f prime? We're going to find that taken literally as they're written, the answers to most of these questions are no, and we're going to have to come up with a stronger version of convergence of functions to get favorable answers. So here's a definition of a new type of convergence. Let fj be a sequence of functions on a domain S. We say that the functions fj converge uniformly to f on S if, given epsilon bigger than 0, there is an n bigger than 0, so that for any j bigger than n and any x in S, it holds that fjx minus fx at absolute value is less than epsilon. So the point to see here is that the choice of j does not depend on x. It only depends on epsilon. That's what uniform convergence is all about. In the first example, the fjx converge very rapidly to 0 for x near 0, but arbitrarily slowly to 0 for x near 1. So the convergence isn't uniform, and we'll make that statement precise in just a moment. So now, let's examine again the sequence fj of x is equal to x to the j. And the limit function is f of x, which is equal to 0 if x is less than 1, and 1 if x equals 1. It doesn't even converge uniformly on the smaller domain, x bigger than or equal to 0, strictly less than 1. To see this, notice that no matter how large j is, we have by the mean value theorem that f sub j of 1 minus f sub j of 1 minus 1 over 2j equals 1 over 2j, the difference of the two arguments, times fj prime, at c, for some c between 1 minus 1 over 2j and 1. That's the mean value theorem. But f prime x equals jx to the j minus 1, hence f prime of c in absolute value is not any larger than j. And we conclude that, therefore, that absolute value fj1 minus fj1 minus 1 half is less than a half, or fj1 minus 1 over 2j is bigger than fj1 minus 1 half, which is 1 half. In conclusion, no matter how large j is, there will be a value of x, namely x equals 1 minus 1 over 2j, at which fjx is at least distance 1 half from the limit 0. We conclude that the convergence is not uniform. Theorem. If fj are continuous functions on a set S that converge uniformly on S to a function f, then f will be continuous. So you see, uniform convergence helps to solve our problem. So, proof, let epsilon be greater than 0, choose an integer capital N so large that if j is bigger than capital N, then absolute value fjx minus fx is less than epsilon over 3. For all x in the domain S, fix a p in S, choose delta bigger than 0 so small that if x minus p, an absolute value is less than delta, then f n x minus f n p is less than epsilon over 3. For such x, we have fx minus fp is less than or equal to absolute value fx minus fnx plus absolute value fnx minus fnp plus absolute value fnp minus fp, and each of these expressions by our choice of n and delta is less than epsilon over 3. So we have epsilon over 3 plus epsilon over 3 plus epsilon over 3, and that adds up to epsilon, and that proves that that f is continuous. Example, define the functions fjx equals 0 if x equals 0, j if x is greater than 0 and less than or equal to 1 over j, and 0 if x is bigger than 1 over j and less than or equal to 1. This is for j equals 2, 3, 4, etc. Then limit as j goes to infinity of fjx equals 0, which is the limit function fx for all x in the interval 0, 1. However, the integral from 0 to 1 of fjx dx is the integral from 0 to 1 over j of j dx, which is 1. Thus, the fj converge to the integral limit function 0, but their integrals are all equal to 1, and they do not converge to the integral of 0, which is 0. Of course, these fj do not converge uniformly. Example, let q1, q2, q3, etc. be an enumeration of the rationals in the interval 0, 1. Define fjx to equal 1 if x is equal to 1, q1, q2, up to qj, and equal to 0 if x is not one of those numbers, q1 to q2 up to qj. Then the functions fj converge pointwise to the Dirichlet function f, which is equal to 1 on the rationals and 0 on the irrationals. Each of the functions fj has integral equal to 0, but the limit function f is not Riemann integrable. The last two examples show that something more than pointwise convergence is needed in order for the integral to respect the limit process. Theorem. Let fj be integrable functions on a non-trivial bounded interval ab, and suppose that the functions fj converge uniformly to a limit function f. Then f is integrable on ab, and the limit as j goes to infinity of the integral from a to b of fjx dx equals the integral from a to b of the limit function fx dx. Proof. This proof is some work. Pick epsilon bigger than 0, choose capital N so large so that if j is bigger than capital N, then absolute value fjx minus fx is less than epsilon divided by 2 times b minus a for all x in ab. Notice that if j and k are both bigger than capital N, then the absolute value of the integral from a to b of fjx dx minus the absolute value of the integral from a to b of fkx dx is less than or equal to the integral from a to b of the absolute value fjx minus fkx dx. But absolute value fjx minus fkx is less than or equal to absolute value fjx minus fx plus absolute value fx minus fkx, which by our choice of j is less than epsilon over b minus a. Therefore, the last displayed line does not exceed the integral from a to b of epsilon over b minus a, which is epsilon. So therefore, the numbers integral from a to b fjx dx form a Cauchy sequence. Let the limit of this Cauchy sequence be called capital A. Notice that if we let k go to infinity in this last inequality, we end up with absolute value integral from a to b fjx dx minus absolute value integral from a to b fkx dx. So we're going to absolute value less than or equal to epsilon. We let k go to infinity, and we get absolute value integral from a to b fjx dx minus capital A, because the integral of the fk's tend to capital A. And that's less than or equal to epsilon for all j bigger than or equal to n. And this estimate will be very useful for us in just a moment. By hypothesis, there is a delta greater than 0 such that if capital script p equals p1 through pk is a partition of ab with mesh smaller than delta, then the absolute value of the Riemann sum of fn at p minus the integral from a to b of fn x dx is less than epsilon. That's the definition of the integral. But then for such a partition, we have the absolute value of the Riemann sum of f at p minus a is less than or equal to the Riemann sum of f at b minus the Riemann sum of fn at p plus absolute value of the Riemann sum of fn at p minus the integral from a to b of fn x dx plus the integral absolute value, the integral from a to b, fnx dx minus a. We have already noted that by the choice of capital N, the third term on the right is smaller than epsilon, The second term is smaller than epsilon by the way that we chose the partition P to have mesh less than delta, and it remains to examine the first term. So we have absolute value Riemann sum Fp minus Riemann sum Fnp equals absolute value summation Fsj delta j minus summation Fnsj delta j, which is less than or equal to summation absolute value Fsj minus Fnsj delta times delta j, which is less than summation j equal 1 to k epsilon over 2b minus a. By the way, we chose capital N times delta j, and that equals epsilon over 2b minus a times the sum of the delta j's, and the sum of the delta j's is b minus a. So this equals epsilon over 2. Therefore, the absolute value of the Riemann sum of f at p minus a is less than 3 epsilon when the mesh is smaller than delta. This shows that the function f is integrable on a, b, and has integral with value a. So we've succeeded in answering questions 1 and 2 of the 5 that we raised, and in the next lecture we'll address questions 3, 4, and 5. And we'll conclude with a little example here. For each positive integer j, define fjx to equal 0 if x is less than or equal to j, x minus j if x is bigger than j and less than or equal to j plus 1, j plus 2 minus x if x is bigger than j plus 1, less than or equal to j plus 2, and 0 if x is bigger than j plus 2. So this is a function defined on the positive half line, and the graph looks like an equilateral triangle and has area 1 under it. Then the integral of fjx dx equals 1 for each j, but the limit as j goes to infinity of the fjx is 0 for every x. So we see that 1 is the limit as j goes to infinity of the integral of the fjx's, which is not equal to the integral of the limit, which is the integral of 0, which is 0. So that's a nice way to end today's lecture, and I'll see you next time.